We have Jesus Christ, the dispenser of grace to those who approach his throne. Let's approach it more often. When things don't go the way that we think they should go, we're hurt, we're sinned against, whatever it might be, we're suffering physically, our loved ones are suffering physically, things are happening, we've got to go to the Lord. Jesus understands.
Thanks for joining us for this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we conclude our look at how we can find help in the midst of weakness and temptation.
Yes, we will, Dave. And it's a wonderful passage. So let's turn together to Hebrews chapter 4, and we're looking at verses 14 to 16.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
It's a characteristic, a very heart of who God is, as we're going to say. Even in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, the writer Paul writes, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men." God's grace has been manifest in the person of Jesus Christ. We see grace in the context of all God does for us, which we don't deserve. And he does it through Christ. One pastor writes, "Grace is that which God does for mankind through his Son, which man cannot earn, does not deserve, will never merit." It's what God does through his Son, Jesus. That's what grace is. And we see that Jesus is grace personified. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich." That's his grace. He took on human flesh to enter the sphere of sin and sinners without sin, to be horribly treated to the point where he's delivered to the cross. You think you have it bad? He suffered for us. He suffered for us, and then he suffered and died. We didn't deserve that. My terrible sinfulness, and he did that for me? You didn't deserve it either. It wasn't that you were so special, so wonderful. He said, "I'm going to go do all this." It was grace. It's grace. We know that the apostles, when they saw the Word who became flesh, John said he's full of grace and truth. John 1. We know that grace is everything from him and nothing from us. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It's by his grace we've been saved. So let us therefore draw near, and we'll see this, with confidence, the throne of grace. Now this term "draw near" in the present tense, it insists it should be our regular practice. We should be drawing near the throne of grace, which implies we need grace, we need favor, which means we're humbling ourselves, we're acknowledging, "I'm not in control, this is not good, I can't do this, I can't do it. Lord, I need you. It should be our regular practice to draw near to Jesus Christ, our great high priest, who is on the throne, characterized by grace. And sadly, one of our biggest problems is we're so far from God in our hearts at times. We're so far from him, we're not praying and coming to him and thinking about him in this manner. We just get sidetracked in all the other stuff. We need to draw near continually. Draw near based on his truth concerning who he is, our confession of faith, and in the context of prayer. So why should we draw near? We're going to have some explanations here, some good reasons why. Some good reasons. Look at our passage again. "Since therefore we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." Hold fast. "For," explaining, "we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are." You say, "No one understands me." Well, the Lord does. And he's sympathetic. We need sympathy. He enters into our pain in a sense. We'll see that through having been tempted himself in his humanity and suffering. He learned obedience through the things that he suffered. He suffered at the hands of sinners and sinful mankind. He understands. "Let us therefore draw near." Hold fast our confession, draw near, because here we do not have a high priest like the other ones that can't sympathize. We have one that can sympathize with our weaknesses. We have a sympathetic high priest. And guess what? If you want true sympathy, it's not out there in the world. All right? You're hoping to get it from people around you. Hopefully your brothers and sisters are, but don't count on that. You need the Lord. The Lord is a sympathetic high priest. He's not going to fail you. He says here, sympathetic. The term sympathetic comes from the Greek word soon, patheo. Patheo means comes from the word pascho, which means to suffer. Soon is the Greek preposition. It means with. To suffer with. And you think about the idea of sympathy, you're entering into emotionally, in a sense, by understanding someone's suffering. You're entering into that. You have sympathy for that. And we are so unsympathetic at times. We are so hardened in our hearts. We need to be more like Jesus. And God's doing that. He's working on us. But don't count on people. Count on Him. Don't go to people. Yes, God may use them to encourage you. Praise the Lord. God did that. But you go to Him. You go to Him. He says, we do not have a high priest, that's picture again, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Now, this term weaknesses, infirmities, doesn't refer to sin, because it speaks of the Lord in that, sympathizing. It relates to our feeble weakness, all the natural limitations of humanity. Our humanity is not made to take the evil around us. It is not made to take the death and the pain. It's not made to do so. We're on our way to glory. It's going to be different in heaven, okay? But our humanity, we have weakness. We have human weakness. Remember in Matthew chapter 4 that in the Lord's humanity was the battleground for Satan tempting him. In his humanity, Jesus was tempted in the context of natural human weakness, not sin, such as hunger, such as loneliness, such as grief. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted grief. That is a sphere of humanity where you're not sinning at times. Sometimes that can turn to sin, but you can be and have grief without sin. Jesus did, because of the wickedness of others, the wickedness of His creation. And that is a temptation then within that to sin, right? But He understands. And let me make it clear that Jesus Christ was sinless, that He committed no sin, 1 Peter 2:22. That He was the unblemished and spotless Lamb of God, that in Him there's no sin, 1 John 3:5. Paul makes it clear that He who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21. And we see in our text that He was tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Now, I'm not going to get into the full discussion of Jesus' impeccability. What does that mean? The absolute inability for Him to yield or fall to sin because of Him being fully God. But what we see in Matthew and other passages is that Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. Not only did He have a divine nature that could not sin, He had a human nature. Yet His human nature was not corrupted by sin. And Jesus, therefore, because He is God in human flesh, could not sin. But yet, now some people say, well, then He could have been tempted. Well, that's not true, because the Bible says He was tempted. Okay? Yet, within the context of His human nature, He was tempted with real temptations, yet incapable of sinning, yet within His humanity, He was tempted in the context of human frailty, weakness, and suffering. As I mentioned, it said He learned obedience through the things which He suffered. You know, when you're suffering, maybe not because of sin, but because of the sinful effects of this creation, whether it's some medical thing or something else, you know, when you're suffering, Jesus understands. He understands, not from the standpoint of sin, but from righteousness, but yet compassion. He understands what you're going through, and He is there to help. He is there to help. We need to see this. We are not designed to withstand temptation. Maybe you're prideful, you think you can. Well, you just failed, okay? Done in a different way. We're not designed. We need Jesus, the only person who truly can sympathize with our weaknesses, because He became like us. He understands your human frailty and the effect of sin and sinners on you, and the effect of suffering. He understands. In Scripture, we see, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, He had to be made like his brethren, that means in humanity, in all things, yet we know without sin, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest. He had to become like us, yet he could be merciful and faithful. Mercy's good. Mercy's good. I want a merciful high priest. I don't deserve it, but he's going to be merciful. And I want one that needs one's faithful, right? It's going to follow through. Merciful and faithful. He grew up with parents that were sinners like you and I. Guess what? Jesus didn't grow up in the perfect family. He grew up in a family, though. Yes, Mary was new to the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. But he grew up in a family that had sinners, right? He learned obedience. I've mentioned this before. Hebrews 5:8, from the things which he suffered. He learned in his humanity to obey. You think, wait a second, how's that going to be? That shows his humility. That God would be so humble to not use his deity, but to walk in dependence to the Father for our benefit. He learned obedience from the things he suffered. He was tempted by Satan. So are we, right? He went hungry. Matthew 4, we know that. He had no place to lay his head. Luke 9:58. We see he grew weary and was tired. Was tired. You think, oh, we're vulnerable when we're tired. We are weak. We are weak when we are physically limited. He was lied to. He was falsely accused. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, one from whom men hid their face. Can you imagine that? He made everyone, and they rejected, and they turned away from him. He understands the emotions of humanity, by the way, yet without sin. You think he's some emotionless God? No, he took on human flesh. He was betrayed. He was beaten. He suffered physically. He was reviled. He was crucified. He experienced human temptation and the effect of sinful humanity to the max. You need to look to Jesus. I'm not telling you don't look to other people to get encouraged, but don't look to other people to get encouraged. I guess. Go to the Lord. And if God wants to send someone to encourage you, praise the Lord. We should be encouraging one another. But don't look to them. Look to him. Because man will let you down. We have Jesus Christ, the dispenser of grace to those who approach his throne. Let's approach it more often. When things don't go the way that we think they should go, we're hurt, we're sinned against, whatever it might be, we're suffering physically, our loved ones are suffering physically, things are happening, gotta go to the Lord. Jesus understands. This scripture makes it clear on the authority of his word. He is sympathetic. We need a sympathetic high priest. Let us therefore draw near with confidence the throne of grace. And notice what happens when we draw near with confidence. Now, this term confidence means an openness that comes from a lack of fear. You know, if your child is confident to run up, daddy, 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 you know, there's no fear. Now, if the daddy was a bad daddy, maybe there'd be fear. But this term confidence means there's an openness, no lack of fear. Let us draw near with confidence, therefore, since we have a sympathetic high priest, one who's been tempted in all things, yet without sin. Let us draw near with the proper attitude, confidence, lack of fear. We understand he's accomplished salvation. He broke the sin barrier. We trust in him alone. We recognize that he is a sympathetic high priest. He's not going to come to you and put you down for coming to him. He's not going to put you down. You know, James talks about if you lack wisdom, ask in faith. And the Lord gives it without reproach, without reproach. He doesn't reproach you for asking for wisdom. He gives you wisdom. If you trust him, you believe it. But this is personal. Like I said, we're going through Colossians, and we can see the things that we're going to study theologically. We need to look at the rest of Scripture and see it personally. Personally. In him, we are complete. Jesus, in him, all the fullness of deity dwells, and we've been made complete in him. Therefore, go to him. Go to him. He's sympathetic. So notice this. If we have a proper view of Jesus, we can draw near, right? Some people who have a warped view of God and self try to draw near through works or sacraments or whatever it might be. That's a warped, evil view. We only draw near because Jesus has broken the barrier between us and God through his forgiveness of sins, dying for our sins. And we can draw near with confidence. Do you prayerfully draw near to your great high priest with confidence, not fearing? And notice what he says. Here's what will happen when we do this. We got to believe this. It's by faith, by the way, but it's true. It's true. God says so. That we may, middle of verse 16, receive mercy, first thing, and then find grace to help in time of need. And if you are honest, we got times of need all the time. Again, we have difficulties in this life. We have circumstances. We have sinful people around us. We have the fallen world. We have medical problems. We have death, and we have people dying. We got dogs that are hurt. Whatever it might be, we got stuff happening around us. We need to turn to Jesus, a merciful and faithful high priest who sympathizes. And notice what it says, first of all, that we may receive mercy. Now, in this passage, he says this that here is actually a Greek conjunction hinna, which means in order that, it speaks of the purpose. That we draw near with confidence for the purpose of getting something here. So we'll see that first of all, we might receive mercy. You know, the Lord wants us to love mercy, to be merciful, like our Heavenly Father. We're not perfect, we fail, but He is perfect, and He's merciful. The term mercy speaks of, it stresses the pitiable condition of man, which he cannot escape, and the help that comes to one who is helpless. The person is helpless. Mercy is help for the helpless. It has this idea of a compassion with it. You know, if you see someone who is hurt and they cannot help themselves, you should be drawn to compassion for them from the heart to come help them, to be merciful upon them. Lord Jesus talked about that with the parable he shared concerning the Samaritan. So here, we need mercy. When we are suffering, when we are helpless, or whatever it is, we need mercy. It's help for the helpless. He says, you'll receive it. You're going to receive mercy. Think about that. If you have a king on the throne and you come and have mercy on me, the Lord's not going to say no. He says, you're going to receive it. We have a good king. We have a gracious king. We have a gracious God, a good high priest who understands and sympathizes with our weaknesses. So first of all, we receive mercy. It comes from the throne of Christ. You want mercy from people? Like I said, don't go out and hunt for it. People are cruel. People are sinful. Yes, we are to be merciful, and hopefully we are. And the Lord might send someone to be merciful upon you. But go to Him for mercy. He says He might receive mercy for our helpless condition. Then notice what happens also. And we may find grace. Kind of interesting, because you receive mercy, but you find grace. The term speaks of coming across and discovering. I found a nickel. I walked on, there it was, right? You discover it. You come across and you come to the throne of grace, and you're going to find and discover grace. Isn't that what we need? We need grace. We need His unmerited favor. We need His mercy. We're struggling. We're tempted to respond. We're tempted to give up. We're tempted to get angry. We're tempted to react. Lord, we're tempted to wallow in our sorrows. Lord, I come to You. You're going to receive mercy and you're going to find grace. But notice this grace actually has a purpose. Notice it says to find grace to help in time of need. The term time of need is two words. In Greek, timely, favorable, at the right time. The second part, help here in this context, it's brought together as words here, speaks of support. It's a nautical term. It's the same exact term used in Acts to speak of the chains they would throw around a ship when the ship is about to break apart. They would frap the ship. They would put chains around so the boards wouldn't come apart in the storm. So to receive help, Lord, I'm falling apart. This emotional storm, this physical storm, this whatever it is tearing me apart. Go to Him. He will help you. And it says here, at the right time. At the right time. But see, this is faith. And guess what? When you trust Him, He gets all the glory. Help in time of need, just at the right time. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation is overtaking you. Cetrus is common to men, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but the temptation will provide a way of escape that you may also be able to endure it. That way of escape is Jesus. In this context, it's Jesus helping you personally. So when you're blasted by the storms of life, the suffering that comes, whatever it might be, cry out, Lord, I'm coming apart. Help me, Lord Jesus. Go to him. Go to the throne of grace. Go to that throne. He understands. He's sympathetic. He's merciful. He's kind. He's going to hold you together with his mercy and grace. He's going to hold you together. You see, God resists the proud, but he is near those who are humble. If you are prideful in your difficulties and you don't call to Jesus, then you're on your own. And guess what? You know what that suffering's like. You've been through that. It's no fun. If you humble yourself and go to the Lord, you're going to receive his grace. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the proper time. Notice what comes right there. Casting all your anxiety upon him, for he cares for you. James 4:6, but he gives a greater grace. Therefore it says God is opposed to the proud. We need to have more so in our hearts. We've got to go to the Word to do it. This attitude that David had, Psalm 18, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of ungodliness terrified me. Sounds familiar, right? The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help came into his ears. Is this great? The eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous. His faith is against evildoers. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And the real issue is, are you going to Jesus, or are you having a sinful reaction to what's happening to you? And we're tempted. We're tempted to sin when things are difficult. We are tempted to sin, but we have a gracious and faithful, wonderful, sympathetic high priest. We go to him. May we be the ones who are examples for others. They see God's greatness and his goodness, and they go to the Lord too. So then, how can we find help in the midst of our absolute weakness and temptation? Continually hold tight your confession. You believed in Jesus, the Son of God, who died for your sins. He's our great high priest. He's at the right hand of God right now. And then continually draw near to him, and you will receive mercy and find grace to hold you together.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, would you summarize the wonderful truth we've seen today in the book of Hebrews?
I'd love to, Dave. So then, how can we find help in the midst of weakness and temptation? Well, first of all, we need to continually cling tight our confession in Jesus. We need to cling to him, our great high priest, who has accomplished our salvation. And then we need to continually draw near to him, because he's the only one who fully understands and can sympathize with us in the midst of weakness and temptation. And because of what he's done, we can draw near with confidence, with the assured result that we will receive mercy and find grace to help right at the time of need. Brother and sister, we need Jesus. He is what we need, and he is a sympathetic, great high priest. So draw near to him.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.